It's time for Retro Talk with Retro Rose here on
WXPM
on 98.5
FM.
This is Rose with Retro Talk, and I want to invite you to the very first episode where I'm going to introduce myself, and I'm going to have two amazing friends that I've known forever. They're going to join me. Kevin?
Hi, I'm Kevin. I do a show on YouTube called Peg Warmers.
And Michael?
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm also known as The Bro Show, and I do a show on YouTube and various places called The Bro Show. Hashtag just bro it.
And we're going to be talking about all the things we loved and made us who we are today. I'm going to start off with talking about all my memories of the arcades, where you had to put a quarter down to make sure you got the next turn. And I also collected a lot of Transformers, which is the way I met my husband at a Transformer convention. I'll mention that too as I go along. I also own a DeLorean with my husband. It was his idea. He's sitting in the background in the basement area right now. And I'm going to let Kevin introduce himself, and I'll mention my convention, too, eventually.
So my name's Kevin, and I am a pretty big action figure collector. I love a lot of retro brands and things from the 80s. I grew up not having a Nintendo. I was one of the odd kids out in the 80s, and I'll pass it over to Mike.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my name is Mike, and I am, as I said, the Bro Show. I am a child of the 70s, grew up in the 80s, and lived in the 90s. So, God help us all. I know a little bit about everything from pop culture to action figures to toys and even dolls. So, if you need me to style your Barbie's hair, I can even do that.
Oh, let's not even get started on Barbies. My husband has to live with this every single day. Is there any Barbies at the flea market today, honey? He's not going to say anything. He's just nodding.
I see him nodding, and he's like, oh, no.
Tony's the strong, quiet type.
He is very quiet, but he is in charge. He actually is the lead, and the reason why, and when I mentioned my convention earlier, this is one thing I'll probably mention a lot in future shows, is RetroCon. My husband and I put that together in 2012, and that is a big way we met. I think I knew Mike way before this, but this is how I met Kevin. First time I ever met Kevin, he was walking around in an Optimus Prime costume. Can you tell people about your costume?
So, yeah, I attended the very first RetroCon without knowing Rose and Tony, and then we met at another convention. There was a costume contest going on at Zola World, and Rose was dressed as the Baroness from G.I. Joe, and I was in a cardboard Optimus Prime costume I had made for Halloween, with a box for the helmet and a chest plate made out of an unfolded box, and I had gauntlets that used big blue winter snow gloves and cardboard boxes on the wrists and things like that, and it made a non-transforming Optimus Prime in robot mode.
And I know all three of us have cosplay, and when you mentioned the Baroness, I am a big Baroness Darling fan. And Kevin is actually wearing a G.I. Joe, but actually Mike, Kevin, and myself, we all love G.I. Joe. So that's another thing that we talk about when we're talking Retro Talk. So for me, it was always the Baroness. I was introduced to G.I. Joe, and this is getting out there a little bit more. I was introduced to G.I. Joe in 1982 when one of my best friends had all the figures. My mom wouldn't let me have one, but I'd go over to his house and we'd play Star Wars and G.I. Joe. And I really don't want to get off the chart because we haven't really heard much from Mike. So I'm going to ask him if he can share some of his G.I. Joe memories and ask, do you have any costumes you've worn in the past?
It's funny you mention. It's not often that I actually costume or cosplay or anything like that. But the one that everybody knows me for and nobody else has ever really done is a character called Scoop from G.I. Joe. This is the late in 89-90 G.I. Joe line where I dressed up as the guy who carried a camera around, did TV reports and things like that. So, of course, I'm going to do that guy. However, when you were talking to Kevin about when you guys first met, I know vividly when I first met you and Mr. Tony as well, and that was the Transformers Convention 2007 in Rhode Island.
That was the year I dressed up as Wheeljack.
Yes, but you were also dressed up as the Baroness.
I have
a picture of myself with you on top of the screen-used Optimus Prime from the Transformers film.
Oh, I remember that. Actually, I'll have to share some of those pictures, but I remember you actually, you knew we've collected, and wasn't it where you came over to our house or something?
Soon after that, I came over and we hung out and we just started hanging out more and more. And then it kind of grew from there. And eventually you guys were talking about, we might do a convention. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. And you were like, let's have you greet people at the front door. And Kevin was probably one of the first ones, I didn't even know him at the time, coming through the door with the pre-registration. So
in the day I met Rose, we lost the costume contest to a kid in a Spider-Man costume from Walmart.
Oh my gosh,
that was probably, I think that was the year that Lobo and I were actually hosting the costume contest, and we almost made it like a Macy's Day Parade, where we had people coming through, and we were like the two anchors up there talking about it, like it was like a retro Macy's Day Parade.
I can see that. I can totally see that.
It was actually a lot of fun. I would love to do that again sometime.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, we've definitely known each other for a lot of years. And when Kevin started hanging out with these guys and I started hanging out with Kevin, and Kevin and I have done a few shows here and there from time to time as well. So we just have a lot of fun together. Everything retro, literally everything retro.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I started planning for the Retro Talk, I definitely wanted to have it where it was a lot of about collecting memories, because I'm very nostalgic like my dad was. My dad was nostalgic towards the 50s and 60s. I'm very nostalgic from the 70s, 80s, 90s, because that's my childhood. I figure that, you know, I was, show my age, I was born in the early 70s, so I remember a lot of this stuff. Now, I know Mike is around my age, but Kevin was born in the 80s, right, Kevin?
I was born in 1982.
So you remember a lot of the late 80s, and you remember the 90s. So
correct.
It mixes well together. Anyhow, I want to introduce myself a little bit more because I feel like I didn't do it the first round. I'm going to talk about how I got into collecting. It started out on Saturday mornings. I used to watch Pac-Man, and I used to watch Dungeons and Dragons. Let's see, Super Friends. And I had all my Lucky Charms with me. That was Saturday morning. In the 1980s. 70s, I think it was Heckle and Jekyll and Flintstones. Maybe a little bit of, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember that cartoon. No, it wasn't cartoon. Maybe you guys can help me out. I know you're listening. It was the great, no, that is it. The Great Space Coaster. Why?
Yes.
I couldn't remember that. All aboard on the Great Space Coaster.
Yes, I remember that.
And I used to watch the Letter People. All of this led into the personality I have today. And I was collecting strawberry shortcakes in 1979. I got my first strawberry shortcake. And
she smelled like real strawberries.
Yeah,
she
I
did.
Had strawberries, and I had a blueberry muffin. And that was like how I got into collecting. My dad was a big geek. I remember every Christmas in the 1970s, he was digging out his train set, his race set, building his Legos. So, I mean, my dad got me into this, and the cartoons got me into this. I love the Beatles from when I was very young. My Uncle Joe, when he lived with us in the 1970s, had Shogun Warriors. And he wouldn't let me touch them. He said they were play toys. They weren't play toys. But they were actually were play toys, but he said, this is not a toy. This is a collectible. And this is actually in the 1970s.
You'll
so
put
he
your
was
eye out,
really
kid.
Getting started. Yeah, so this is how it began for me. And I really want to find out how it began for Mike and Kevin. And eventually, when we go live, this is pre-recorded for now, but when we go live, I want you to call in and tell me what you got into and how it got you started into collecting, or the music, anything that got you involved in being a nerd. It's okay to be nerdy. Listen to my introductions.
That's right. It is very okay to be nerdy. Absolutely. I grew up on movies like Revenge of the Nerds. I probably saw it when I was way too young, things like that. This is Mike, the Bro Show again. And for me, getting into collecting everything really started again with Saturday morning cartoons. I can remember very vividly as a kid, and we're talking, I'm born in 1975, so I was seeing a lot of the Filmation cartoons at first. So I saw the Flash Gordon Filmation cartoon, Tarzan, I saw Star Trek in the late 70s, and I'm like, this is just so cool. And then eventually, right in the early 80s, we got the Smurfs. And then, boom, here comes G.I. Joe in 1982. And you have the toy line that comes out with it right at the same time. It was like the perfect mesh of everything. But also He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which I know Kevin is a huge fan of. That one really kind of set the tone for me. And then the big one for me, the big one for myself, Transformers.
And that's mine too. Yeah. I mean, that, and like I mentioned earlier, that's how I met my husband. We were at a, we crossed paths, I think, in 1997. We might have been shopping at the same mall during a Transformer convention. We both remember a lot of the event. And then in 98, I believe it was 98 that we met the first time. And the first thing I gave him was, for you Transformer collectors out there, I gave him a G1 Springer because I knew he needed it.
Oh, wow. Wow, Springer.
Fill a hole in his collection.
That's, yeah, that's how you get to a man's heart. You fill a hole in his collection.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
It ended up in my collection again anyway, so it was perfect.
So you know what that means? Tony and Rose are technically retro themselves from being that far back. So, yeah, totally with Transformers is the way to do it.
I knew how to win his heart.
Oh, my gosh. That is the way to do it. So, for me, it was all those. And then, like, superpowers and whatnot. But, Kevin.
Well, cartoons in the 80s were a really special kind of moment in time. President Reagan had deregulated a lot of things with children television. And they were able to basically make kids' cartoon commercials for 20 minutes at a pop. And so we never before had cartoons, comic books, and toy lines that all kind of cyclically advertised each other. So G.I. Joe had 30-second commercials for the comic book because they couldn't put animation in the toy commercials. But the comic books were just an ad for the toys, and the toy had a cartoon show, which was an ad for the toys themselves and the comics. And it made kids in the 80s so in love with the characters from these different brands. I think that's why there's such a different connection between 80s kids with Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man and all these other brands that's a little different from kids from before that or kids after that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you know what? If you've ever noticed, that's the strongest thing. Even if someone's not really a big collector, you'll still see out on the road Autobot symbols on cars. I mean, you don't even have to be a collector. You don't really have to be involved. But you know the line. You're educated with it. You grew up with it, you know, and it's going so strong. This is the 40th year for the anniversary, actually. We're going to get into anniversaries. But it's the 40th anniversary of Transformers. Now, cartoons that last that long, collecting that last that long, there's something, you know, it's just so strong. You know what I mean? It's just something that's endless. It's timeless.
And when you talk to the people that worked on these shows, they had no idea. Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O from Thundercats, you know, I've had the conversation with him before, and he said, you know, at the end, they just thought the job was over and no one would care later.
Yeah.
Right.
And 40 years later, people are still coming up to talk to him about it and hear
later,
hear that voice say, oh, you know, it's iconic.
I will say this, though, that when you were mentioning about the cartoons and the comics introducing these toy lines, one thing that was upsetting the kids, and I noticed it at the time, was if they wanted to introduce new characters, they would have, like, they had Transformers the movie come out, and they killed off Optimus Prime at the time. And my gosh, it just broke the hearts of so many. They wanted to introduce new characters, and so they would kill off characters. And you know the reaction to G.I. Joe. I'll let one of you explain what happened. But it broke so many hearts. You know, kids were so upset over Optimus, Prowl, you know, Ratchet, so many characters dying that they had to change the idea for G.I. Joe the movie.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe movie, you saw clearly what should have been the, spoiler alert, the death of a major character, and they change it to a one line, he's gone into a coma. No, he got a snake through his heart. He died. He did not live through that.
A little voiceover at the end. Doc says Duke's going to be A-okay.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right? But here, meanwhile, a year later before, in theaters, we had the Transformers movie, and they killed off the entire G1 first year, second year line, and go, oh, okay. Well, now we have all these other multicolored, super high neon-looking Transformers, but they don't turn into the cars that we drive around anymore. Like, okay, we're supposed to like this, and most of us did.
And if they had replaced a lot of the characters, it probably would have been okay, but you had to know that Prime was the heart of that show. Like, he was the father figure.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I read a review. I was showing my age. I was almost old enough to drive at the time. So I got a local newspaper when this first happened. And it was like the kids that watched it, the reporters said it was just heartbreaking to see these kids saying, Optimus Prime, you know, and it broke the hearts of so many kids. And so, like, when they did come back with season 4 of Transformers, which was only short-lived, they made sure to bring Optimus back again.
Right. And it's one of those things that made sure to fill the toy lines for us to be able to have things to buy more toys, more of a commercial, and here's more Optimus Prime. And I think that just really set the tone for, just like Masters Universe and other toy lines, you always have your hero characters no matter what. So that way you have a line that somebody can get the hero character every single year, every single time.
Yeah, they like to come up with what they call a variance or a refresh, where the character comes back with like a new costume or a new set of powers, and it makes total sense. It's especially strange with Transformers, with Ultra Magnus being a white Optimus Prime figure in like a souped-up suit, that they didn't just have him somehow reform, reconfigure, whatever, right. And instead they just made it separate characters and killed off so many characters. They could have just sent them to another planet and had them still be alive, but like, focus the show on new characters.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I, you know what, we could go on about variations too, because the G.I. Joe variations, there's, if you collect the toys at all, there's so many different variations of some characters. Like, I can't even begin to count how many variations was there of Snake Eyes? How many variations was there of Roadblock? I mean, the variations is crazy.
My first thought was either Snake Eyes or Cobra Commander. One of the two they've made the most of, it seems like. There's at least, I don't know, 500 versions of each one.
So I don't know which one of you know G.I. Joe's best, but just off the top of your head, who has the most variations in G.I. Joe?
It's between Cobra Commander and Snake Eyes, probably, but I don't know for sure.
I'm probably leaning more towards Snake Eyes, maybe only because of the Snake Eyes movie.
Yeah,
the only thing I can of, and that's it. Although here recently with some of the toys that have been coming out, but with the collecting the retro toys and everything, there's a lot of great stuff coming out now, even that are current toys that are look like the retro stuff, but they're doing variations of those retro ones as well with multiple different companies. Back in the day, it would be Hasbro. We know it's good. We buy from Mattel. We know it's good. Now, there's other toys that are toy companies that are making.
Yeah, that are making them.
Our
yeah.
toy lines, but sometimes better, sometimes not. But they're not quite as good as the originals.
Were a kid. I mean, if you even think about that, if you say variations like anything that's come out throughout the years, I can't even begin to count of how many Optimus Primes there have been. How many Optimus Prime, Starscream, Bumblebee. I mean, if you go into the Transformer lines from 1984 to present, I can't even tell you how many were made, but it's astronomical.
And George Lucas got it with Star Wars, changing the characters' costumes throughout the movies and for each movie, so he could sell different Luke Skywalkers and Han Solos. That's what makes it so funny that then the toy companies, like Hasbro, couldn't figure out we could just make a different colored Optimus Prime without killing him.
Right.
And stuff like that. Eventually, they did catch on to that and just, okay, He-Man gets a new outfit this year, and Duke's going to get a new set of fatigues.
You got Duke, then you got Tiger Force Duke, then you got Night Force Duke, or never got him, but, you know, all sorts of different variations for G.I. Joe. Transformers, Prime is red. He's a truck. Once they made him a fire truck, no, twice, and that's it, that I can think of.
Yeah, I think there was what color was the laser Optimus? I think he had flames, right?
He was black with red flames with a black and gray trailer on the back end, and he was the most poseable Transformer at the time at that scale.
That's actually, you may laugh, but that's actually one of my favorite Optimus Primes.
It is. I love that one.
Yeah,
I have an original.
One of my favorites.
I still have one of the originals.
I think Tony and I actually, and Tony's name is on there, that's my husband, for people that get to know me on here, but I think that we actually have one of those sealed in box. He's in the basement.
He's shrugging.
He's our tech guy.
He cannot
one
confirm.
Of our tech guys.
I can see him looking through the window going,
and,
don't talk about my
he's
toys.
He's going to learn how to do it. There's a couple other tech guys here if they want me to mention their names, but we couldn't do it without them. Connor, Andy. Now your name's in there. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's one of my favorite Transformers. I love the, and if we're talking about Transformers, I love the G2. I remember when that first came out. Shows my age again. I was already an adult working, and soon as I heard they were coming out, I was like, I'm over at Toys R Us. When there was a Toys R Us, we need Toys R Us back again. But
so who's your favorite Transformer, Rose?
My favorite Transformer? Back in the day, it was definitely, back in the 80s, it was definitely Starscream.
Okay, Mike?
But
easily Optimus Prime.
Is that sound, back in the day?
I'm a Soundwave guy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Now see, I like Soundwave too, but nowadays, you know, it's shifted. It's not Starscream anymore. It's more of, I love the G1 cars. So it's hard to pinpoint just one, but I love Prowl, I love Ratchet, I love Jazz, I love Sunstreaker, I love Sideswipe. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to pick just one.
The cassettes popping out of Soundwave was just such a neat thing to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that then the cassettes were also Transformers.
I can talk about my favorite, absolute favorite Transformer toy is one that my wife actually got for me again several years ago at one of the first RetroCons so I could have it again. And it was Blue Streak. And the reason Blue Streak was such a special one to me, it was the very first Transformer toy my dad ever bought for me. And I remember it vividly. I had to show him in the box and go, it turns from this to this. It's two toys in one in the Albertsons down in Lafayette, Louisiana, where I grew up. So I knew that very vividly. And to this day, it's one of my favorite toys to have. And I still have that. And the favorite toy from him as well was just before he passed away. He bought me the set of the Protectobots from Transformers.
Now, if we're talking about the toys that we had as kids, I have the original Starscream that I got when I was a kid.
Oh, my gosh.
So we've talked a lot about collecting Transformers, G.I. Joe, a lot of that kind of stuff that caught our attention back in the day. I want to talk about the convention I host is how we met each other, and I've mentioned it already, RetroCon.
Let's go retro.
Yes, let's go retro.
So I kind of want to get back into that a little bit. And for those that are into this kind of thing like we are, you can come out there in September and join in the fun.
RetroCon is a really cool place to be at. There's so much going on. Every year, it started off at like maybe 100 tables or so of toys and things and stuff and guests for Thundercats and voice actors. In the last few years, it's grown. And now we're at, correct me if I'm wrong, I see Tony, he can see me in the window, over 280 tables or so of people selling toys and retro things and all sorts of cool stuff. But there's a lot of great guests that are going to be there too. Kevin, who's the guest you're looking forward to so far?
I'm looking forward to meeting the $6 million man.
Lee Majors.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I actually was just found in my storage unit an actual Fall Guy truck.
Nice.
That I'm going to have him sign, actually. I need that signed.
Yeah, I mean, I love Fall Guy, too. And Lindsay Wagner?
No. The bionic woman is going to be there. I can't wait for that. You got the pair of them there. And you know who they worked with back in the day, who's a retro to us, even? Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
In their movie, definitely. Sandra Bullock was like one of her first things. So they've worked with one of the big Hollywood actors, and they're actually cool TV, big Hollywood actors themselves. My personal one I'm looking forward to, because we have a lot of great guests again, the one I'm looking crazy forward to, Lance Guest. It's the last Starfighter.
Fighter.
Yep. Yes.
And he was actually on Halloween, too. Halloween.
Yep.
And Jaws, The Revenge. A lot of people don't like that movie, but, you know, I'm a huge fan of Jaws the Revenge. I love all the Jaws movies.
I'm so sorry for you. So sorry for you.
Ouch. And we're actually going to have Catherine Mary Stewart.
Yep. Big fame from The Last Starfighter, Night of the Comet
Night
as well.
Night of the Comet, yep.
Oh,
definitely,
man.
Definitely Night of the Comet. That's one of my favorite movies. I just watched it recently.
And then also we have some voice actors, but they were also on this show called Happy Days, which we're really looking forward to.
The 40th anniversary, too. And actually, if you look back, I didn't mention this, but Last Starfighter is an anniversary this year. And Happy Days is the 50th anniversary, and we're going to have Ralph the Mouth there.
Yep, and Ralph was actually the voice of one of the characters from Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons, that's Don.
That was a cartoon in the 80s, and that was Saturday morning cartoon, and he played Eric the Cavalier.
Yeah, Don
who was
Most.
How is the best way to describe Eric the Cavalier?
He was, like, so cocky, but also a little smarmy.
Yeah!
He really was, for a hero on that show, like, the guy you kind of hated?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't really a big fan of his.
He took credit for every success.
Of the character, yep. That is. Yeah. I love Don Most, but Eric was so annoying when I watched that show. I was always booing him a little bit.
I'm not going to lie, though. I got to have him sign some stuff. And a matter of fact, last year at another convention, I costumed with a friend, and we did a duo of Sheila the Thief, and I did Presto from that show. But Alf, which you guys will learn from new shows and whatnot, I'm a huge fan of, I dressed Alf as Eric the Cavalier. So I'm going to be bringing an Alf dressed as Eric the Cavalier, and I want him to sign the shield
That's
I made
amazing.
For him. That's who I need him to sign it for.
Nice.
But then we also have Don Most coming in, like you said, and I don't know if he's done a lot of actual voice acting, but he's a director of a lot of shows that we know. Up until this day, he did a lot of Star Trek shows, like The Next Generation and, or not Next Generation, I think one for DS9, definitely a lot of Voyager and a few others. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We're
going to
have Potsy there, too.
Yeah, I know.
We can't forget Potsy. He's going to be there, too.
Yeah, RetroCon is just a lot of fun.
Happy Days element this year.
Yep.
Yeah, it's always neat that you guys get a lot of pairings of people that like make sense. So if you're interested in The Last Starfighter, you get to meet two people from it. Or if you're interested in the Bionic family, you've got two people there.
And if you're interested in voice actors, we get a lot of people there. We've gotten wrestlers in the past.
Yep.
I mean, I actually had the $6 million man put me in a headlock. I had Sergeant Slaughter once give me a back rub. So, I mean, there's always someone fun there. Yeah, my husband's shrugging because it was a long day. Here's a story for this. It was a very long day during this RetroCon, and I went in the back, and Sarge says, "You look tired. Take my seat." Next thing I know, he's massaging my shoulders. And I was like, "You're going to make my husband jealous here."
That's making me jealous.
I know, right?
Back up from Sarge?
I would take that. I mean, I was dressed up as Scoop one time, I got a couple photos with Sarge that way. But he never rubbed my back.
He's very good at it, too. Let me tell you. You get in that high chair, and he's like, "How's this feel, Rose?"
At ease disease.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But I was very at ease.
Yeah.
And people were walking by and saying, "Look at Rose." And I even had a couple people take pictures like, "Wow, Rose is getting a back row by the Sarge."
Well, so. What's really great about RetroCon, too, is not only do you have the guests and you have the tables and toys and everything, but you also have a lot of different activities that cater towards a lot of people.
Says the person that runs the trivia contest.
No, not just the trivia contest. Let's be honest. Tony's trying to kill me some years, I think, because I've been roped into, and I don't mind at all, I'll fully say it, don't mind at all. I have a table where I sell things at myself. My wife helps me run that table so that I can run around and host a trivia contest, which has gone into its 11th or 12th year this time. I help judge a karaoke contest, which is a lot of fun. This year's looks to be extremely fun, and we won't mention what it is yet, potentially, but it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We also have the retro t-shirt contest, where if you have an old t-shirt or just one that you made with something cool, you come see me. I'm going to tell you if it's cool or not. You might win some cool prizes. And we started one last year called the Weird Toy Contest, which, okay, I have to tell the story real quick.
All right, before you do that, I got to mention one of the weirdest toys I got recently.
What's that?
It's a Donnie and Marie marionette puppet.
Oh.
If they even really, the oddest thing I ever found was that marionette. And my husband actually picked up one that's a cow that you're supposed to milk.
Oh, I've seen that one.
And
a goat
that eats everything. I mean, goats eat a lot of stuff. So, I mean, there's some weird stuff. Now I'm going to let you get to your...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this was the first year, this past year, we did the weird toy contest, and we told people, don't bring anything too inappropriate or whatnot, but it has to be something that was actually made, not a knockoff toy or anything like that. So people were bringing in some really cool things, including toy lines that I hadn't seen in decades. But this guy walks up with this box. I'm like, okay, what is in it? It was, and I kid you not, and this really dates me because I know it, the Archie Bunker grandson toy. Not only was it kept in the box, thank goodness, but I learned that it was also a baby doll. Okay, that's cool, but it was an anatomically correct male baby doll that could pee. And they didn't pull it out of the box, so we didn't show anything we shouldn't show to the kiddies. However, it was just such an unusual toy. I'm like, okay, you win. So that's kind of stuff we do at RetroCon. There's also a setup for video games that you can look. A lot of times we have vehicles that are either originally screen-used vehicles or great replicas of stuff from different TV shows, like the General Lee, or from Knight Rider,
Kit. We had A-Team.
Yeah, the A-Team
van. Yeah, the A-Team. We've had...
Jurassic Park Jeeps.
Jurassic yep. Park. We would love to get, and I think we're working on this, maybe since we got Lee Majors, maybe getting the Fall Guy truck.
Nice.
Now, that would be awesome. We haven't announced it yet, so we'll see what happens.
You didn't hear anything on this show at all, people.
You didn't hear anything on this show. We've even had some of the monster vehicles. We've had the Monkey Mobile there.
Yep. And then we also have the costume contest, not only an adult contest, but a kids contest too, held on different days so that there's no kind of overlap for everything. And then there's the panels with the guests that come in too, that's hosted by one of our other friends oftentimes and whatnot. But it's just a really great show, and it's one of the things I get passionate about. I could talk about it all day because I love it. And if you can't tell, I'm a host. That's what I do. So yeah. That's why Tony's trying to kill me sometimes, but I don't mind it. And if I ever drop dead hosting the trivia contest, I'll probably die the happiest man alive because I did
happiest
that at
man alive, yes.
And then I become a collector's item. So
yeah, he would become would just go over to his house and invade all of his toys.
No, you really want the keys to the storage unit. Oh, I said too much. Don't tell my wife
you
I said
too much.
The amount,
Jen, are you listening?
The amount of stuff for sale at RetroCon too, just the dealer's tables, you could spend all day just going up and down the aisles and still miss things that are there for sale.
Yeah, I mean, there's a countless stuff. I try to shop a little bit myself, but I'm usually so exhausted. I've gotten, like, I think last year I got a Brave Star costume. Brave Star Halloween costume.
Like a Ben Cooper?
Yes,
the smock?
Yes.
The Brave smock Star. And the mask you can't breathe in?
Yeah, I've gotten that. And I know that if Bob's listening and Melissa, they'll say, yeah, we gave you that. They did. They gave me the Brave Star. I also look for Barbies a lot, and I like, you'll find that out, that I love Barbies. And I collect a lot of oddities. I like the odd stuff. Like if I were to find a Transformer soap dish, I think a couple years ago we missed it, and the guy held it aside for us, but at RetroCon there was a Skeletor soap holder that we actually got. And anything odd, like I've seen like Thundercat bubblegum machines at this event, you know, at our RetroCon. I've seen all kinds of goodies. I'm feeling like we're gonna have to roll up for a second here, go to a break. Remember the music? Remember the movies? Remember the cars, the fashions, the news, the things that stood out during our youth? It's okay to be nerdy. Join me as I reminisce over the cartoons, the toys, and the video games of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Turn back the clock with Retro Talk.
Weekends on 98.5 XPM's Million Dollar Weekend Lineup.
This has been more of a, for this episode, it's been more of an introduction. So you can get to know us, the people that are talking to you right now. And saying that, I want to mention a few other stories. Like one of the first cars I ever had was a 1978 Buick Regal. And that thing could book. I'm going to tell you a fun little story about that. Then I'm going to let the boys talk a little bit. The story is, I was going to a New Kids on a Block concert. I was trying to buy the tickets for this concert with my sister. And I can't remember what happened, what led to this argument. But I gave her the money for the tickets. And it turns out they decided that they were going to sell the tickets at a different location. I had her holding the money, and I said, give me my money back. And she was in the passenger seat, I was in the driver's seat, my dad was in the back, and we're arguing about this money for the New Kids on the Block concert. And I reached over to grab the money and hit this pool and took out the whole side fender. It wasn't really a serious damage to us, but the car, my dad was like, oh my gosh, he had a major fit. Beautiful Regal.
As any dad should.
Yeah, yes. And it was all over money for a New Kids on the Block concert.
Wow.
Total defender. And we went down, I remember we went back home to West Virginia at the time. That same day we went to West Virginia, and my dad went to all my uncles and was saying, look what she did to my car. Look what she did to my car. And it never ended. He just, the whole weekend was, look what she did to my car over New Kids on the Block.
I got no words. I got no words on that. Oh, my gosh. New Kids on the Block, really?
Yeah, actually, I went to Hangin' Tough.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
Hanging tough.
Whoa. Anyway, it's funny you've mentioned Nixon's Block. There's a vivid memory I have of, eighth, ninth grade. I could hear the New Kids on the Block concert in Shreveport, Louisiana from my house that I was living in because I was that close to the arena. So I didn't have to go. I just could hear it. Oh my gosh. First car?
First car? Mine was a fender tore off.
Mine was actually, so this was 92-ish or so, just before my senior year in high school. And my best friend at the time, he decided that he was going to move away. He had his own car, and his uncle said, you know what, come move to Hawaii. You can finish your senior year in high school. So he didn't need to take the car with him to Hawaii. I'm like, okay. He sold me his car for $1. This is 1992. It was a 1983 Datsun 200 SX. With everything kind of stripped out, the radio was not working. It should not be driven. And I drove that for at least 4 or 5 years. Ball tires, never changed them out or anything. I should have died in that thing. And that was also the car I drove from Louisiana to Massachusetts when I moved up there in 1997 through a snowstorm with no front wheel drive. I should have died. The car promptly died when I reached Massachusetts. And it was gray. It looked like the paint was peeling off. There's a video I have on YouTube that shows the car still in one of my very, very first videos from 2007 that I put together. Like, I should have died in that car.
That wasn't the craziest vehicle, and I'm going to let Kevin get in here in a second. I drove a couple pretty crazy vehicles. I drove one, a 76 Plymouth, for a while that didn't have any music, so I would carry around like a little 80s radio in my car so I could have some tunes.
Like a battery-powered radio?
Yeah, a battery-powered radio.
I like that.
And then at one point, I was driving around. I drove this for a friend. I was driving like a 1975 Chevy truck, and it didn't have brakes. So I had to go around with friends and keep it at a certain speed so if I needed to stop, I could bump into their bumper to stop. I swear, this happened for a while. And if I went anywhere with this truck, if we needed it for anything, I'd be driving it, and we'd just have to go like 20, you know, really slow speeds, so I could bump into their bumper to actually stop this truck. That was a pretty scary vehicle.
I think we need to mention at this point to all the kids listening out there, be sure that do not try that at home or with other vehicles.
Do not try this at home.
Correct.
My first car was a 1982 Buick Skylark that I got in 1998, and it was a giant white boat. It was my great uncle's, and when he stopped driving, he gave it to me, and I was just about like the age to get my driver's license, and I was doing a little bit of body work to it because he had a minor fender bender at one point, and my dad drove it to pick me up from my job at a hardware store. And he told me, he goes, there's something wrong with this car. Like, we need to have it looked at. And, you know, other than that, it had only just been moved around our driveway a few times. And it turned out it had a cracked motor mount. And so I finished the bodywork job I was doing to it and ended up just selling the car.
Right.
And later I got a 1990 Buick Century with peeling clear coat. Kind of like how you were saying
that your first
car looked kind of terrible.
Oh, my gosh. But it got you around.
Well, the Century got me around. Right. I had the Century in college, and I kept running into minor issues, and my mechanic would say, so do you want this fixed right, or do you want the college kids special? I had a turn signal that would light up, but I had to blink it, because it would just lock on.
Oh, so you actually
so I would
had
manually blink it to like the beat of the music I was listening to.
Yeah, it sounds like my car, same thing. It actually, mine for a 1982 car had a female voice, so if you left the door open, it would say, left door ajar. And I was driving this when I first met my wife, and she goes, I'm jealous of your car. I go, she's pretty sweet. You got to be sweeter than her.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I think I know my first cars were really cheap. My dad paid $800 for the Regal, the 78 Regal. I mean, it was beautiful, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was my first car, and it had power windows. I mean, you can't beat that. And then when he took over the Regal after I tore out the fender, and he gave me the 76 Plymouth, and I think he paid $100 for that. So I guess after I tore off that fender, he thought she needs to have like a crappier car. But this car is actually, the 76 Plymouth looked a lot like the car from the Duel. If you've ever watched that movie.
I know that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it looked a lot like it. The design was the same. I never had any big semis chasing after me or anything. But it actually looked a lot like it. It was even green, kind of like a pea green. Like, I think his was it pea green or was it like a tan color?
It was more like a tan greenish or so.
It was orange. Oh, okay. My husband in the basement said it was orange.
I eventually took the back seats out of the Buick Century I had so I could put longer things in the trunk. And one time when I took it in for inspection, the mechanic said to me, he goes, it's not a pickup truck. And I just said, I can pretend, right?
You know, I'm curious with you guys real quick. So we're talking about the first cars we ever had, but, you know, all the toys we collected and shows we watched, there were always cool cars in there. I'm curious, what car did you imagine you were driving when you drove some of those first cars? Because for me, when I'm driving the car, I always thought of myself as Hot Rod from the Transformers movie. I'd play Dare from that movie, and that was me driving, and I probably should not have been driving that fast at that age.
I actually, when I was driving that truck that one time, I imagined myself driving BJ and the Bears truck. But can you imagine driving that truck with no brakes? And I'll tell you, my husband, he's from Royersford area. He used to pretend like he was driving the DeLorean, like a time machine. And if he had an open road or somewhere where he knew he wouldn't get in trouble, he would try to go 88 miles an hour.
Where we're going, you don't need roads.
I think that's what he was thinking. How about you, Kevin?
I don't know if I have something that I particularly imagine, but if I could pick like a movie car to get to drive, I would love to drive Ecto-1.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a fun one. I've never drove a car with lights before, so.
When you guys had the A-Team van for a little while, I got to go for a ride when Nick was testing out the brakes. And you just can't help but smile because everybody you drive past is like, oh, look at that thing.
That's true, though. I mean, because we say, oh, what show car would we have imagined? But my husband and I did have an A-Team van at one point, and we would get eyes, you know, people watching us. But the funniest thing that ever happened with our DeLorean, because we have a DeLorean now, in 1981, we were over there past Pottstown one time, for local people that are listening, and a cop pulled us over and asked us if we actually had a flex capacitor.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we did have one. But he pulled us over for that reason. Because my husband was like, why is he pulling us over? We're not speeding. You know, there's nothing going on. Is there something wrong with the car? And whenever he came over, he says, I just wanted to ask you if you had a flex capacitor. So he literally turned on his lights, pulled us over, and asked us if we had a flex capacitor.
That's your tax dollars at work right there. Yeah, that's okay. I can appreciate that question.
Yeah. So, and then we had a cop pull over behind us at Redner's over here in Phoenixville one time when we had the DeLorean and was asking us about the car. So, I mean, tax dollars again.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's just so much. When you talk about cars and everything, too, there's also the toy line of, like, Hot Wheels and things like that. And I'm thinking to myself, what did I collect as a kid from Hot Wheels? Did you have any Hot Wheels, Kevin?
I had tons of Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, I think, is just one of those toy lines that every kid gets because they're like a dollar. It's a perfect, you know, be quiet while we're at the store kind of like, here, you got something.
You know what makes me sad when I think of Hot Wheels? My cousin Luck was, like, about 6 years older than me. So he had a lot of red lines. And we would go into his room and just, they were dirt worn, you know, because we played out in a driveway with them. They had crashes and dents. And here we are banging these red lines together that are probably worth about $60, $70, maybe even more. And anyhow, now that we're getting to this point, I keep saying anyhow, let's cut that out, Andy. But we're getting to the point where we have to wrap things up.
Listening to
Retro Talk with Retro Rose
here on
98.5 WXPM.
Be back next week, same time, same channel.